Hey, we're back. Welcome to another episode of Light It Up Live. I'm your host, Josh. And of course, I don't do it by myself. I always got my buddy, Mr. John Baker, with me.
Hey, how we doing, my brother?
Chilling, man.
You know, how's it feel to be up there in the hot seat?
You know, it's all right, man. It's all right. Got the script written. You know what I mean? I'm good to go. But today's show is John's story. You know what I'm saying? But before we start the show, we'd always like to say what the show's about. It's about Genesis 1:3. Genesis 1:3 said, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light was good. And he separated the light from darkness." That's right. Because see, here at Light It Up Live, yeah, we're trying to bring light to a dark world one episode at a time. You know what I'm saying? But today is going to be John's story. So there won't be a Josh's spotlight, but that's okay. Because it feels like it's all a spotlight right now, baby. You know what I'm saying?
So, how you doing? Come on, man. I'm doing good, bro? Man.
Good.
Enjoying my weekend. Just relaxing, man.
Yeah, that's what's up.
It's been nice, man. With the weather the way it is, we don't have too much mowing the grass anymore. So kind of getting a break on that.
Yeah, but I still get out there and make it look like I'm doing something, I guess. I'm lying. I've been sitting here the whole time.
Yeah, me too, brother.
Yeah.
Me too.
But I'd like to give a shout out to old Impact Wells for coming up with the name. You know what I'm saying? Light It Up Live, where we're igniting minds and elevating faith. You know what
Let's
I'm saying?
I know
I put that in a different spot than you usually do.
But hey, that's okay, man. That's okay. And don't forget to find us on YouTube at Light It Up Live, right, Josh?
All right, Light It Up Live. We are a proud family member of Warpath Ministries at the moment, too. So we'd like to give them a big shout out.
Hey, man, Warpath, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, John, you know what I'm saying?
What's up?
So we want to know about you, brother. We want to know, you know what I'm saying? Brother. Everything that you care to disclose about yourself, you know what I'm saying? We'd like to know, you know?
Hey, so, man, I'm going to be raw and transparent with this, brother. That's what I do. Because I hope somebody out there can relate, because we're also going to share the ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The ending's always the best part, man. You know what I'm saying? So you want to dive into it? I mean, like I said, there ain't going to be no spotlight.
We can dive in. Oh man, look here. We got Jody Matthews, man. Oh. We got to put out a prayer for my brother, Jody. He's been in the hospital for several days.
Yeah.
And they had to amputate part of his good foot. And he's in the hospital struggling a little bit right now, but if anybody's built for it, it's Jody Matthews. Yeah. So everybody that's watching this and everybody that's going to watch this on the rebroadcast, please put a prayer up for my boy Jody Matthews. Jody, I love you, buddy. And I've been thinking about you every day, man. And my prayers are with you, bud.
Yeah, Jody, sorry to hear, brother. You can probably throw a prayer up at the end of the show for him. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, brother.
Yeah, man.
All right. You ready to dive into this thing?
Man? I am, brother. I am. I've known you for a long time, so I know a lot about you, but nobody else, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't. And I said, you've always been a great friend to me, John, you know. But to everybody else, man, where are you from, brother? Where are you from originally?
Well, I was actually born in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my father, God rest his soul, my father wanted to move us down here to Florida because of better weather. And so I don't know if it's true or not, but story says that daddy wanted to move us down here because of me, because, you know, as a one-year-old, I couldn't take the cold. I guess I was kept getting sick, but I kind of think my pops just wanted to move to Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, dude.
So he moved the family down here, and we moved into Pine Hills. For people that don't know what Pine Hills is, Pine Hills is a neighborhood here in kind of not West Orlando, but it's just west of downtown Orlando. And it's not a very big community, but when we moved there, it was a nice neighborhood, man. It actually was. They actually built it for the blue collar workers of Martin Marietta.
Oh, yeah.
But what it ended up turning into was bad, man. It's a bad part of town, and there's a lot of crime there. People nicknamed it Crime Hills. There's a lot of crime there. There's a lot of robberies, a lot of shootings, a lot of drug deals, and I became a product of that. I I kind of let the streets consume me, you know? Yeah. And I started getting in trouble at a really, really young age, but we'll get into that here a little later.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've known a pious host for a while. I moved down as a teenager, and when we first talked about Pine Hills, it was always Crime Hills. So yeah, it was bad. I lived in Rosemont. Now, you know, Rosemont's kind of a piece of it, but yeah. So, what would you say was the lowest point of all that? You know what I mean? Like, at what point did you say, you know, things have got to change. I need intervention, man. I need somebody.
You know, there were several things growing up, you know what I mean? Because I was an alcoholic and a cocaine addict for 35 years. And there were several times that I knew, you know what I mean, that I knew that I needed help. I knew that I needed a change, but quite honestly, I was scared to, because of several reasons, because I didn't know how else to act. You know, from a very, very young age, I started experimenting with drugs and alcohol at like 14 years old. From a very young age, I started experimenting with that stuff. And that's how I self-medicated. That's what I thought happiness was getting a buzz. And that's how I thought I had to get friends, was getting a buzz. And I knew many times, but when it really, really came down was about 6 years ago. And I just started losing everything, man. You know what I mean? I started losing relationships. I started not having a relationship with my kids. My family, they were getting tired of it. Lost a lot of friendships, and I was alone. And I found myself in my late 40s at mom and dad's house, sitting in a bedroom by myself, drinking liquor and other things. And I got tired, man. And then a part that sticks in my mind is my pops was still alive, and I got into a bar fight, and it was a really bad one. I come home missing some teeth and blood coming all down my face. And my father, he comes up to me with a rag, a wet washcloth, and he starts wiping my mouth, getting the blood off. And he said, "John, when are you going to stop this? You have to stop this. You're killing yourself and you're killing me." At that moment is when it really, really, really hit me. I got sent to the hospital, and they Baker Acted me. For people that don't live in Florida, what Baker Act is that when family or somebody else thinks that you're a threat to your own life, and they can Baker Act you, and they can kind of lock you up. Well, they Baker Acted me in the hospital. They had my wrist and my ankles with leather straps and chains tied to the bed. Because, see, after my dad walked out of the room, I took every pill in the bedroom and tried not to wake up the next day. I was found that way. So they called an ambulance. And the ambulance took me to the hospital. And that's when they chained me to that bed. So there I was alone. I'd lost my family. Kicked out of my fiance's house, where my youngest son was. And sent to a hospital, Baker Actor, chained to a bed with leather straps and chains. Because I didn't want to wake up the next day. How selfish is that? And that there is when I was done, brother. That's when I made the phone call. I called a good buddy of mine, Jody Matthews. He was just in here in the chat. I called a good buddy of mine, Jody Matthews. You know him. And he, yeah. He was walking in sobriety at the time. And I had partied with him, you know what I mean? So I wanted some of that. So I called him up and I asked him, man, how are you doing that? And he told me, you know, and he says, whenever you're ready, you call me. I still wasn't ready at the time. I got drunk a few more times after that, partied a few more times, but then I called him and he answered. He answered the phone, man. That simple.
Yeah.
He answered the phone. He took me to some AA meetings and then took me to church. We'll get into that later too. And that's when it all changed, my brother. That's when I knew, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first time you mentioned Mr. Matthews, you said, man, I got a wonderful friend. He gave me a wonderful gift of hope, you know?
Man.
Yeah. Good dude.
Man.
Well, so you say your redemption came shortly after that. Let me ask you, what happened, man? Like, what really cracked it? What really hit your heart so hard that you said, this is it?
I was in the church, first time I went back to a church in many, many years. I had just been done getting out of the hospital. I was Baker acted. I missed the teeth. Feeling like crap. Everybody left me. And Jody takes me to this church. And I'll never forget it. There was the Eddie James Ministry was there performing gospel. I was sitting in the back of the church at this time. Now I sit up front. I was sitting
right.
I'm up front now, baby. But yeah. I was sitting in the back and something come over me. I didn't know what it was, but it hit my whole body. This is true. It hit my whole body and I just started weeping. I started crying so hard and I didn't know why. I had my head down in my hands and I was crying so hard. And then Jody seen me and he put his big old meat hooks on my neck and said, man, that's the Holy Spirit. Let it go. I did the altar call. I walked up and that was the first time that I surrendered and I gave myself to Jesus. That's when it really happened. But see, the problem was, Josh, is that I didn't leave it at the altar. I took it back with me. And I relapsed again. That was, I was like almost a week into it. I relapsed again, but that's when it stuck. I felt so ashamed. I told my sponsor at the time, and I told Jody, man, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. I messed up, man. I got drunk tonight, and I partied. I'm so sorry. And I said, hey, man, that's okay. That's okay. Now it's time to start over. It's okay. I haven't looked back. That was November 17th, 11-17, 2020. November 5th, 17th, next month. I'll be 5 years, 100% clean and sober.
That's good, man. That's good stuff. So, yeah. Sound like Jody was a good sponsor then. Yeah. From what I've heard, they don't ever show hate. They always show love. Like, you know, hey, you dipped your toe into it. You know what I mean?
Jody wasn't a sponsor. Jody just, he was a friend. You know, I had a sponsor from AA. Jody was just a friend. You know, I mean, we were going through the same thing at the same time together. You know, he was only like 4 months into it at that time of sobriety. You know what I mean? So we kind of went through it together. You know, we started a little thing together here locally. And he still got it going. He still got it going strong. Sober as well. He still got that going strong. But and that helped us too, you know. But yeah, man, that's when it stuck, man. And I haven't looked back. Well, I look back, but for good reasons.
The just being your friend through all those years, you know, I got to see you here, there, your highs, lows a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was always so far on the outside of all that I, you know. But I do remember something that happened in your life that really changed my life. And it was when that thing hit us on the highway. And
yeah.
When we got back to the warehouse, the way you got out of that truck, dude, the way you got out. I don't know where you were with Jody at that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, that something touched me because I mean, I brushed it off. And you were like, dude, that was a miracle. And I'm like, no, that was just a, and I was like, wait a minute, that was a miracle, bro.
For you guys that don't know, there's a highway here called 429. We was going down to 429 about 75 miles per hour in a small box truck, fan front, box back. And we was going down the highway, and all of a sudden this large piece of metal comes flying in the air, somersaulting in the air, and it smacks the windshield. Smash! Glass smashes all into our faces. The top of the roof got dented in, and the windshield shattered. It was unbelievable. It was
horrific. It was incredible.
It was crazy. Yeah, man, but growing up in Pine Hills, I got ate up with it, man. My parents loved me dearly. They really did, but they also let me do what I want to do. And I ended up running the streets a whole bunch. I ended up growing up, man, I was full of anger, Josh. I was not a nice person. I loved to fight. I enjoyed it. I looked for it. I was angry, man, but I was full of anger, depression. Pictures here I'm not proud of, but they're part of my testimony. For people that are just listening on iHeart, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see the pictures that we're talking about if you're watching live. This is me when I was in the middle of my struggle. That person you see right there, full of anger. Full of hate, full of blaming everybody else. I was lost. I was self-medicating. I woke up every day with a chip on my shoulder. I was stuck. And in that process, what you end up doing is you end up blaming everybody else. You take no blame for yourself. You see, my mom and dad love me dearly. I did this to me. I chose the decisions that I made. Sure, there are bad decisions. Sure. But can I sit here and can I say, would I do anything different? The answer to that, Josh, would be no. I wouldn't do nothing different because it made me who I am, and I had to learn the things I did when I did it. You see, I got some very serious charges. What happened when I was young is I was in a gang called NHS, and it was really serious. It was a gang in Pine Hills. Friend, we had another rival gang against us, and they came by the house. Actually, my buddy came by the house and said, hey, man, yo, they're out on the corner, bro. They're out on the corner. So we loaded up. We loaded up in a car with some pew-pews, and we got in the car, and we went there. We were going there thinking they was standing on the corner. Well, they weren't. But their house was. So, I got to be careful how I say this. But we ended up pee-pooing the house, if you know what I mean. Well, we get back to the house. They drop me off. And all of a sudden, I hear pop, 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 pop. If you blah, 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 ever come by our house, blah, 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 blah. And they did the same thing to my friend's house. Well, we got caught. I got locked up. I had to watch my mom. This was in 1992. I had to watch my mom walk across the street because the holding cell, the courthouse ain't even there no more in downtown. They ripped it down, but it was a holding cell. After court, you get locked up, and you could see the street. I had to watch my mom in tears walk across the street to her car because of that. I get out, and man, I was troubled, man. I was troubled. It never stopped. You know, I used. Drank, experimented with this, experimented with that, and I was just a lost soul. I never searched for Jesus. I never searched for that. Nobody tried to show it to me at that time. They were scared of me, Josh. Nobody wanted to talk to me. I was trouble. But now I know it was all for a reason. It was all meant, it was God's timing, because we know that God's timing, it's never wrong. So I was supposed to go through that, man.
It's never too late, yeah.
Absolutely not. And I can tell you, we started walking the sober journey. Skipping forward, we started walking the sober journey. And at the beginning of it, I could tell you, at the beginning of my journey, I didn't know it at the time, but at the beginning of my journey, I was doing everything for the wrong reason. You see, I got saved. I got baptized in water with Jody. We did it the same day. But see, I was doing it for all the wrong reasons at the time. At the time, I was doing it because I thought all of a sudden there's just going to be this magic wand waved above my head, and I'm holier than thou. I am saved. I am a Christian. Poof, you're a Christian. Life is going to be great. You're better than everybody. And then I used to get on stage, and I used to go to speaking engagements. But I was doing it for the light. I was doing it for people to look at me. I was doing it for people to glorify me. You see, that's not what you're supposed to do. And I had a mental breakdown like 2 years into my recovery, into my journey. I didn't relapse. I didn't use. But I had a mental breakdown. Weeping on the back steps. Losing friends again. And I'm losing friends in sobriety. And that's when this time I went to the altar. Weeping. And I left it there, Josh. I left it at the altar this time. This time when I went to the altar, I said, okay, God, okay. I trust you. I'm scared. But I trust you. I'm going to leave it here with you, because everything I'm trying to do, Lord, it's not working. Here I am. I'm sober. I got saved. Why is this happening to me? I'm going to leave it with you. Now I'm going to do it the way you want me to do it. So I poured my heart into it. I got into local ministries, and then I found a church that has changed my whole life around. That is Glad Tidings Church in Ocoee, Florida. Glad Tidings Church. Pastor Gary Howell, Pastor Tyler Howell, Pastor Judah Howell, Pastor Ruben Hernandez, Pastor Mackenzie Howell. The Glad Tidings Church. When those doors opened and I walked into that church, I knew I was home. And I can't tell you how much Jesus has changed my life, man. I go to speaking engagements now. And now when I speak, it's coming from a different place. Now when I go talk to people, it's not about me no more. Now it's about God. Now it's about letting people know that they can feel like I feel. There's no magic potion, Josh. There's no magic potion to the way I feel now and how I'm doing this. It's because I gave my life to Jesus and I trusted him. But what you have to remember, because I started getting impatient. What you got to remember is that just because times get quiet and things aren't happening as fast as you want them to, that doesn't mean that God has stopped working. And it took me a while to understand that. God is still working in the background. Because, see, I started feeling like I was throwing prayers up. They was hitting the ceiling, and they was coming back down and hitting the floor. That's what I started feeling. But what you got to understand is that just because it gets quiet, that doesn't mean that God still isn't working on you in the background. You got to remember, the same hands that created the stars is the same one that is shaping you. And boy, has he shaped me, Josh. Because, man, the last, like, 3 years, unbelievable, man. My church family, I serve at my church, proudly serve at my church. I work on physical fitness now. But the number one thing that I'm proud of now, man, is now I get to be a dad. I get to be a real dad.
Yeah, it's priceless, bro.
I get to be a real dad. I get to help my youngest son brush his teeth. I get to help him with his homework. I get to see him every day. I got to go watch my daughter graduate in Iowa. I got to fly there. I got to watch my daughter graduate in Iowa. Now she's going to the University of Northern Iowa. She's going to college to pursue her dreams. Now I'm not just alive. Now I'm living. Does that make sense?
It does. I was going to ask you, my last question for you is, so how do you see your future going, man? Moving from here,
how I see my future is service work. It's continuing service work through this podcast, through outreach, through the church. It's service work for me, and it's being the best dad that I could possibly be and the best person that I could be. I want to reach back and help others get through the struggle that I used to once walk into. And I can't say it enough. I want to be a good dad, Josh. I want to be a good dad, man. It means the world to me, because in the beginning I wasn't a good dad. One of the most times I'll never forget, we've talked about this on this show before, is that my oldest son, we were talking, I was apologizing to him for my past. And you know what he told me? He said, "It's okay, Pops, you're here now. And I'm proud of you."
Amen. Yeah.
To hear the words out of your child's mouth say, "Dad, I'm proud of you." Whew. That's one of the proudest moments of my life, when my son tells me, "Pops, I'm proud of you." Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So when people doubt the blessings of the Lord, when people say, "How is he real?" That's why I like people to hear my story, because I'm not up here preaching with a white collar on, everybody. I'm not up here preaching because I got a bunch of scripture memorized. I can't retain things I've read. I've had it since I was a child. But what I can tell you is my testimony. And I can tell you what I feel. And I can tell you what I felt that day in the back of that church. And I can tell you the miracles that are in my life. And I can tell you the blessings that are coming to me daily that I pray on. Look at me for witness. Use my testimony. Use my past problems. Use my trials and tribulations to hopefully help you not have to experience more.
Well, I think you're doing great, man. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely got a positive vibe to you all the time now.
Hey, you know what I mean? Brother, that's God, man. You know, and I worked for that. I did. I worked for it because I was an angry person. Let's not forget these pictures that we put up earlier. I was a nasty, angry person, man. I lived with anger. I've got permanent wrinkles on my head because that's how I used to always just look. And I can't say it enough, man. It's not a magic potion, man. It is. It's Jesus. It's God that did this for me, man. It's God. So yeah, it's November, buddy. 17th. 5 years clean sober.
You got any plans for it? For any kind of, you know what I mean? Big fat steak, baked potato.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I heard you could cook.
I'm a really good cook, actually. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Get us one of those charcoal grills at Walmart. We'll just do it in the parking lot.
Wow. I actually don't have any plans, to be honest with you. I don't. I'm just gonna praise him and spend it with family. And you know what I mean? You know, nobody really throws big old parties or nothing like that, you know, because I'm just so just work home, work home, work home. So I really don't hang out with too many people, but, you know, you and my family and the work. So
yeah, that's about all I got, man.
That's what I'm doing nowadays, brother. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that.
Don't want to be nowhere but here, right?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You guys don't forget to check us out over there at YouTube. We do have a YouTube channel. It's at Light It Up Live in the search bar. And do us a favor. Subscribe, man. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. We're also on Twitch. And we go live here on Facebook, man. We rebroadcast tomorrow on our iHeart channel. And we rebroadcast on iHeart Radio, man. So you guys can check us out there as well. Man, I would love for you guys to go to YouTube and go to all these other things and share it out and help us get the word out. You know, we don't do this for money, but we actually pay to do this. we don't do this for money. We do this because we love people and this is fun for us, you know. And we got a message, man. We're trying to put out a message. Like Josh said at the beginning of the show, we're trying to put a little bit of light into a dark world one episode at a time. So that's why we do it. And episode 18, Josh shared his story, and we were it was going to be a two-parter. Episode 19, I forgot that it was supposed to be a part two for me. Yeah,
so it was good.
So we had a guest on. So we this is episode 20. It fell in episode 20, but I hope part of my story can reach somebody, man. And we skipped a whole bunch, but we went to the important parts, and that's what I wanted to do. Let's go to the important parts.
Well, I got one more question for you.
You got
one
any more question? Any questions, yeah. Jud? Yeah.
Just one more, man. At this point in your life, is that glass half full or is it half empty, bro?
My glass is half full, and it's about to overflow, my brother.
You man, bro. Amen. Yeah,
absolutely, man. Amen. I used to live that half empty life. You know, man, I really did. But now it's half full, and I can darn near touch the top.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? I can almost reach the rim.
Yeah. You've always been able to swim, so, you know, it's good, bro.
Yeah, I was drowning in that bad boy for a while. You know?
Like, who's spinning my glass, man? I can't keep up.
You got any closing comments, Josh, before we go into my final thoughts?
No, I ain't got no closing comments. I would, you know, again, like you say a little prayer for Jody, man. You know what I mean? Because that's got to be a really, really tough to go through something like that. And so, we're going to have you in our prayers, man. You know, brother?
Absolutely. So, you guys, please pray for Jody Matthews, man. He's still in the hospital. He's been there for days. Mm-hmm. He had surgery to remove part of his good foot. So you guys, please keep our brother Jody Matthews in your prayers, because he could use him right now. He's built for this, but this is tough on anybody.
Yeah, so, doesn't matter how big you are, bro. You know what I'm saying? He's a big guy. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Please say a prayer for Mr. Jody Matthews. But in closing, man, I do have my final thoughts.
Come on.
So this is my final thoughts, Josh. You know, as I look back on everything, I've been through the pain, the mistakes, the moments I didn't think I'd make it. I realize now that none of it was wasted. Every scar tells a story of grace. Every setback was a setup for God to show me who He really is. See, I used to think my story disqualified me. I thought my past made me too broken, too far gone. But God, He has a way of taking what the enemy meant for harm and turning it into something powerful. He didn't just rescue me, He redeemed me. If you're listening right now and you felt like you're too far gone, I want you to hear me clearly. You're not. God hasn't given up on you. In fact, He's just getting started. The same God who met me in the darkest moments can meet you in yours. So tonight, I just don't want you to hear my story. I want you to remember that God is still writing yours. And no matter how messy your middle might look, the ending is already filled with His mercy. I want to thank you for listening, for letting me open up my heart and for walking this part of the journey with me. My prayer is that my story points you back to the one who can change yours. Until next time, keep believing, keep fighting, and never forget, your testimony might just be the hope that someone else needs. God bless. Much love.
Buddy. Good show. Good show.
Buddy. Good show, bud.
Well,
so you guys, don't forget to go over there to YouTube and subscribe for us. It's at Light It Up Live. All one word. Don't forget that tomorrow we'll be rebroadcasting on YouTube, and we will be rebroadcasting on iHeartRadio. Don't forget to check us out on that as well. And, of course, next week we'll be live right here on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube, live 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Remember, your rope's longer than you think. God's rope, it has no end. And hold on tight. God bless.
God bless.
Let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to Light It Up Live. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to Light It Up Live. Welcome home to Light It Up Live. Stories of grace, hope redefined. Heart to heart, let's lift our eyes.